The nice thing about changing chemistry is the fact that it does not appear to relate directly to your major problems. If, for instance, you've been a little selfish or a little unkind or a little nagging during the years, or if you've judged people a little unwisely, work not on these problems, but on the general enrichment of your life. Psychosis is almost always present in a life that is internally not rich enough. Psychic tensions and pressures and the melancholy mood come as the result of a life that is not sufficiently directive or directed toward interesting or worthwhile achievements. The individual has permitted himself to become weary, permitted himself to become lazy to progress. He may be busy every minute, but he's lazy to those things which would help him to solve his problem. So if these problems exist, begin a survey of different values in your life. And the first problem is, where are you getting adequate, creative self-expression? Are you doing interesting, pleasant, and happy things as a result of your own planning to do so? Are you growing by conscious effort every day? If you're not, you're shrinking, whether you know it or not. Are you finding means of satisfying your own natural instinct for betterness, for greater happiness? Don't worry about the 15 things that are wrong. Forget about them for the moment. Forget about the mistakes you are making. Stop blaming yourself for them, even if you know you're to blame. Forget everything except one thing. What are we doing now that is right? What are we doing now that pleases, that brings opportunity, that opens up something? What are we doing this minute that we're proud of? What are we doing that is helping us to grow or know or express more adequately? Make the bid a completely positive one. Have no concern at the moment over all these things that did not work out. Forget the unpleasant relatives. Forget the dishonorable friends. And simply say, what am I doing? What am I holding in my hands? What am I building? What am I creating? What am I planning at this moment that is good? This is the beginning of the setting up of a counter-habit, a habit that goes in a new direction. And the symbol of progress or creativity, of the making of things, is very important in our own justification of life. Every person is either creating or destroying, whether he knows it or not. Any individual who is tearing things down is destroying. Any individual who is tearing himself down is destroying. In most cases, we don't destroy big things, and we're not always sure we're destroying anything. But take the instinct to destroy and stick it out in front where you can see it. When you criticize another person, you are tearing something. You are tearing it apart. Therefore, take a piece of paper, sit down and look at yourself and tear it up. This is criticism. This is exactly what it amounts to. When you criticize a person, you're tearing up your likeness or picture of that person. Sometimes it may help to tear up the picture. It's better to tear up the picture than tear up the person. Very often, if we get rid of the feeling by an action, we don't have it anymore. We write letters. telling people what we think of them. We can make a wonderful project out of it as long as we never mail the letters. And many persons have found this a very great help. They got it out of the system. But just as this relieves a certain kind of pressure, so the constructive or positive symbolism creates a new release on a positive level. To create something with the hands is a symbol of creativity. Putting a model ship together shows a tendency to integrate. Here is an interesting problem that I think many people have actually fallen into without realizing it. And that is the hobby shop and the various rather complicated things that are manufactured now for persons to assemble on their own time. 25 years ago, about all you could find to put together was an occasional jigsaw puzzle. Today you have hundreds of different model structures. And maybe we think that these belong to the world of childhood. But if they do, so do we. And our own growing up is not as real as we thought it was. But wherever, symbolically, we follow the instructions in a book or on a sheet of paper, and we carefully and orderly and neatly and as nicely as we can assemble a model aeroplane or a copy of the Mayflower or some other sailing ship of the Viking period, wherever we put these things together, paint them and finish them, and finally hang them on the mantle or put them somewhere where no one on earth will admire them anyway, yet we have done something. We have used a creative symbolism to put something together. We have developed the continuity to stay with it and do it. We have had an opportunity to use our hands, an opportunity that has become rather strange to many of us because of the efficiency and the mechanism of our modern world. So by the same device that we see in the Rorschach blot, some dismal thing, we can also become aware in the process of putting something together of the integration process in our own natures. This integration is a putting of the personality together lawfully, or according to the rules, or the sketch, or the outline, or the instructions that are given to us. Wherever we have an instinct to build or create, we are safer than when we have an instinct to tear down. Also, the moment we take any impulse or instinct of any kind and transform it into an action, it gains tremendous vitality. Most introverts are non-active, or as they themselves say, they are busy inside. Well, you can be very busy inside and be very sick as a result. The release of expression through action has peculiar validity. It is one way of convincing ourselves. The moment we perform an action, the consequence of that action becomes known to us by a reflex of our own sensory perception. We can hope, we can think, we can believe, and it all happens inside. It does not cause a stimulation in the sensory perception gamut. But if we are determined to transform an idea into action, we go out and we do something. We decide, for instance, that we will draw a picture. So we take pencil in hand and we draw the picture. And the moment we do so, we see the picture we have drawn with our own eyes, and the image is returned again into our own subjective. Tremendous intensification of impact results from the fact that our picture comes back to us again through the outward sensory reflexes. If he gets this concept, he's going to then try and interpret his own pictures, which may and only lead him into further complications. What we are trying to imply, rather, is that just as we arrive at certain conclusions which we do not rationalize, but which cause us to get into trouble, so we can arrive at certain other conclusions which we do not rationalize, but which will get us out of trouble. And the grand pattern of these is so simple that almost anyone can recognize them. Namely, that these patterns must not offend us, that they must advance our creativity, our ingenuity. They must create interests which cause us to want to finish them. And having so accomplished, perhaps lure us on to do more of the same. As we change in many ways, or in any one of many ways, we observe that the psychic compound changes. One healthy interest may affect a complete personality complex. One new attitude, not relating directly to the problems we are suffering from, may help us to cure those problems. The development of a hobby may reintegrate a totally unbalanced life. The individual never attacks any of his vices. He simply finds something constructive and interesting, and the vices starve to death, which is the only way to get rid of them. This means that in broad formula, remedy is always an outgrowing of the ailment. And the outgrowing of a negative attitude is rather easy because there is really no direction you can move from the bottom except up. When you get down as far as you can go, that's it. There is only one other direction. And as almost any action will represent growth when confronted with the opposite of no action, we find a wide variety of possibilities and opportunities offered to us to improve a situation. Always try to compensate for an intensity by a constructive action that takes our mind off of the intensity. Someone will say, well, I'll never get my mind off of this intensity. This one is really something. And we will watch them fight to hold their mind to that intensity. And sometimes you can't get it off. So it is again important to have these persons come in contact with new situations. An example of this was a person who was extremely depressed by a restricted home environment. This home environment came as the result of retiring from business and the general feeling that they were too old to accomplish anything. So they settled down for several years, becoming more and more melancholy, critical, hypercritical, negative, and fussy. And perhaps the fussy part was the worst. All the talking in the world did not do anything about it. What actually corrected the whole situation was a chance conversation with another person. And it wasn't a reforming conversation at all. This other person said, I'm at this time trying to rent a house. I have a house for rent. I wonder if you'd be so kind as to go over for an afternoon and watch it for me, because I can't be there. This is the thing that started the change in temperament. It had nothing to do with fussiness or negation as we know it. It was simply a physical action. The individual went out and watched the house and interviewed persons who wanted to rent the house. From this experience came the sudden realization inside of this tired, fussy person that he was just bored. had nothing to do. He enjoyed that afternoon. Pretty soon he found other things that he could do of a similar nature, and in a few months he was considerably improved. He had by accident hit upon the answer, namely that he needed something to occupy his mind and time. He couldn't figure how to find it himself, so it was shown to him. And having once experimented with it, his enthusiasm increased, and he worked out a program. So this friend, wanting him to sit around and rent an apartment, attacked the foundations of a rapidly developing melancholy and broke the pattern. So all kinds of things can break these patterns. About all we have to do is expose ourselves to some kind of a program of improvement. Forget about the fact that we are friendless and begin to take an interest in something that we can do. Take an interest in some art or science. Take an interest in some charitable or sociable activity. Don't try to attack the negative area. Leave it alone and build positive activity. Now, many persons believe that they can philosophize themselves into a state of grace. I am a little doubtful of it after so long a time of watching this thing work out. I do not believe that anyone can read himself out of a neurosis. First of all, he won't, because he won't read the right books. The first book that offends his neurosis will go into the wastebasket. He's got to read a certain kind of book. It's like a psychotic watching television. He's never happy unless he's got a psychotic program tuned in. You could not sell him a travelogue for a moment. He will tell you that television programs are nothing but crime, and then he will watch nothing else. I have seen people twist the dials away from tremendously interesting programs, even while they're complaining about there not being any interesting programs, and end up with a good old murder. And at the same time, complain to the neighbors and everyone else that they shouldn't have no murders on television. This is no way of answering some of these situations, except that an individual trying to find solace for a frustration generally needs to break out from himself rather than go back in again. His books, he will identify himself with the wrong character in almost every instance in fiction. Or he will begin to try to build escape and defense mechanisms based upon abstractions that he doesn't understand. He will try to run away from reality into a world of psychic mysteries, which certainly will keep him intellectually occupied, but will leave him in a complete daze when he gets through with it. I doubt very much if any such program can substitute for a good, straight, heart-to-heart talk with ourselves. I doubt if any amount of abstract solace derived from mystical overtones of things can compensate for our failures to actually live optimistically or live creatively and constructively. There may be cases in which these readings and these abstractions can bring comfort under certain pressures or stress. But they cannot be and never will be a substitute for life. You've got to live it. And you have to achieve your victory not in an abstraction, but in a concretion. One of the dangers with abstraction is that it enables an individual to weigh his own case unfairly. In abstraction, we can devise our own private universe. We can set it up with our own rules. We can decide in our own minds what is good and what is bad. we can make little heroes out of ourselves in relations to a private cosmos. We can devise all kinds of theories to explain the various incidents of life. And by the time we get through, we have completely lost contact with a real world. I remember this so well in connection with a number of religious and philosophical communities which I have investigated. These people decide that they will go down into the southeast corner of the Argentine and start a new world brotherhood community. Well, I'll give it 6 months, and the World Brotherhood will have a civil war. These good people, wanting to run away from the world and all of its problems and stress to set up the ideal community in Timbuktu, have overlooked one difficult problem. There is nothing more terrible, tragic, or incredible in life than a group of good people trying to live together. Because there are so many unpleasant and uncomfortable ways of being good. For most persons, good involves the right to censor the conduct of everyone else that lives. And good people are forever being hurt, disillusioned, disappointed in other people who are not so good. And the not-so-good people are having a very difficult time with the good ones. So the community fails. It fails because people cannot run away from life. And if they get in some isolated situation or a very different and remote area, then they have nothing left to do but think of themselves and each other and gossip from morning till night. This situation goes for the person who tries to go inside of himself, build a private universe, leave the world behind, and try to be very beautiful in spite of everything that is happening. He can't do it. It will not operate. It will not function in society. The only thing he can do is to start in this gentle program of creating a new series of symbols, until he is able to look at the design in the Rorschach ink blot and see something smiling at him instead of glowering at him as it did the first time he looked. That is the basis of his recovery, is that gradually the universe looks better. People look better. Situations look better. Now, you can't be a blind optimist. We know perfectly well that we are heavily laden with problems. We also know, however, that most of these problems are beyond us as individuals. Therefore, worrying about them is merely an escape mechanism. And I think it is true, whether we like to acknowledge it or not, that many of the people who are worried over the cosmos, worried over the bomb, worried over the smog, worried over all kinds of things they can do nothing about as individuals, are really developing tight little escape mechanisms. They are going to worry about something that is big and that they can do nothing about because they do not want to face themselves now and worry about the things they could do something about. It's wonderful to live in the presence of something so big that anything you can do is useless. And people I have heard who have nothing on their minds except the constant pressure of social problems are also people who should have much more of their mind on their own dispositions, which are usually in terrible shape. But it's interesting to have no time left to think about yourself because you're worrying so much about cosmic uncertainties. Let's watch that a little bit and realize that there is much more to be gained for us by turning our attention constructively to one fault of our own than there is in 24-hour-a-day vigil for the next 50 years worrying about the miseries of mankind. One is so completely futile that it offers no inducement to the practical individual. Whatever we do think about, whatever plans we do make, whatever concerns do burden us, should lie within the range of possible attainments. We should not give much time to a situation which is completely beyond our capacity to influence. The only way we can influence a collective is by gradually making ourselves a positive unit in the collective. For collective problems, our own individual achievement is our only offering. The collective is made up of persons like ourselves. And if each of those persons would take care of his own nature, the collective would look much better. Thus, the only answer in every instance lies that our first step is always the clearing of our own position in relationship to life. Around us today, there are numerous opportunities for activities. There are numerous levels on which we can go to work. There are things that every person can do that will create changes in his psychic integration. Most of these changes arise from self-improvement. Therefore, sometimes it is necessary to take a look around and see what can be done in this direction. Almost any form of advanced knowledge gives the person an instrument of skill or of self-directive, or at least of constructive interest. I know friends who have taken weaving, for example, not because they expected to make cloth by the 100 yards. That wasn't the primary motive. But in the study of hand skill, they have suddenly opened a universe to themselves. These people are now studying the methods used in Peru in ancient times, or by the Mayas, or by the Copts of Egypt. Their weaving has led them into symbolism, into the preparation of dyes, into all the different processes by which religious or other designs evolved within a people, meanings, textile secrets that have been comparatively lost, like the famous Tyrian dyes, which have been so completely lost that we have never been able to secure in the field of dyes what we might call a constant or permanent purple. The color always fades out. With the Tyrians, it did not. 20 years ago, we repainted half the murals down in Central America. Our paint's all gone, but the paint that they put on 2,000 years ago is still there. This challenges people. Now, you can say, well, the world can get along without the paint. After all, when we've got a real worry on our minds, why bother about paint? It is true, the world can get along without a hobby or without going into these things, but can we? It is far better for us to be exploring the origin of primitive dyes than it is to be quietly and relentlessly killing ourselves with negative attitudes. We need an interest. Actually, it is hard to determine what interest is actually important. For like the Rauschuk test, the only interest that is important is the one that interests us. Some people feel that they cannot afford to have small interests in a big world. They'll have to, because we are all small people. And we're going to have small interests as long as we're here. And it is very important for us to have interests. And it is not a tribute to life to decline small interests and live with big miseries. And you'd be surprised how a small interest can cure a big misery. The moment dynamic is born in us, we have no longer the time for static. We begin to direct our activity And it is also interesting, if you want to really be serious about it, the percentage of great discoveries that have changed the course of history that have been made by amateurs. The professional is not the discoverer, because he is in a rut. He is following tradition. He is going along according to the slow, ponderous methods of his subject. It is some perfect stranger with little experience that will find the solution. It's much like the truck that was stuck in a tunnel in New York. And they had all the experts there. The truck was stuck. It was a couple of inches bigger than the tunnel and was in terrible shape. They couldn't move it at all. Then along came someone who had no knowledge of tunnel construction and no knowledge of trucks. He looked the situation out. He said, "Do you ever think of taking the air out of the tires?" That's how they got the truck out of the tunnel. Someone comes along with an idea. And whenever we are interested in anything, we're vulnerable to ideas. Ideas that may be small, but others that may change the course of history, we do not know. But we have no ideas while we're sorry for ourselves. If, therefore, we are willing to break through, supposing we do have a life in which we see a dozen different corrections that should be made in character, just let's not worry about them. Let's learn to play a good game of chess. Let's take some interest, music, art, literature, hobbies, crafts. Let's begin regardless of the period of life and go to school again. Not necessarily trundling down the road with the books under one arm. We can do it by extension courses from universities and adult education programs. Learn things. Build things. Work constantly to move knowledge forward. Many large communities where there are art galleries and museums have very splendid programs relating to art. Lectures. Pictures, exhibitions, tours conducted through the museums. Today, in large communities, there are cultural events of all kinds. The individual who begins to understand the importance of culture suddenly realizes that it is not measured in pennies and dimes, it is measured in peace of soul, in the ability to become adjusted. And to have this adjustment in turn reflect in every performance or action that we indulge. So that as a result of a different internal, we are suddenly better friends, better relatives, and more intelligent babysitters. Whatever it is that we are doing becomes a richer experience only if we are richer people in value. And the tremendous cure for all faults is this enriching of life. Now, some persons also take the attitude that nearly all such avocational activities are expensive. That in order to be cultured, you have to be rich. This is not true. The average person wastes today more in trivia that produce him nothing than it would take him that it would cost him to plan a very well-balanced purpose program for personal integration. This is the kind of program that will save you the psychologist's fee, to start with. Cut down your medical bills. Cut down money wasted desperately in an effort to get out of a mood, or money wasted because you were in the mood when you bought something you didn't need and didn't want. With a very moderate expenditure, an individual can develop interests that will enable him to become positive to something. Positive to something that is not personal, and that is very important. Positive to a neutral thing. In other words, it faces him with another Rorschach test. But this time it is not an ink blot. But it is an activity which he must interpret, and which in turn he is able to modify himself by his own actions. By keeping with this kind of a program quietly, but with continuity, a person in 2 or 3 years can completely reorganize their psychic focus of organization. They will find they become interesting people that others are glad to know. They become interesting to themselves. I know a case at point that is very much to this situation. A man who had insomnia came to me not long ago. He said, "If I can't get to sleep at night, I'm just going to blow my brains out. I simply can't stand this insomnia any longer. Lying there hour after hour and not sleeping." Well, it was pretty bad. We did what we could to help him. A few days later, another man came in. We were talking about something, and the question came up, "How do you sleep?" "Oh," he said, "I don't sleep much. I guess I have what they call insomnia, but, you know, it doesn't bother me at all. It just gives me more time to think about the things that interest me." Difference in attitude. Well, the fact of the matter is that anyone ought to be able to lie awake all night without a negative thought. The only reason he has a negative thought is because he has nothing on his mind. If he can use that time to advance a program, think something through that he wants to do, plan for things of the future, remember beautiful or wonderful things that have happened to him, or relive delightful and inspiring experiences, or just simply muse quietly about values and principles that are important. Any individual should be able to do this. But today an individual misses a little sleep and he has to take sedation because he can't live with himself. This is not due to the fact he's going to die for lack of sleep. Nature will never permit this. It's simply that he makes himself sick. The greater part of the disaster of insomnia is not the lying awake. It is the fact that the person uses this period to slowly but resolutely tear down integration, to become so much more psychic over it that it is 100 times worse than the loss of sleep. Everywhere in life it is the same. So we have to work on these attitudes, nourishing them with better food, giving them a diet that is suitable to their needs. Every instinct of fear has within it the same energy that is used for hope and faith. Every criticism uses the same faculties and problems of analysis that can also give us commendation. Every bit of depression is using the same negative reaction to energy, for which a positive reaction is optimism and courage. There is only one life principle, and we are using it or abusing it all the time. When we use it, it makes us happy. When we abuse it, it makes us miserable. And when we are in habits that are too hard to break and too difficult to head into and just fight them day by day, we have this wonderful opportunity of forgetting about the bad ones and begin building new good ones. Building them slowly and patiently, not frightening ourselves to death or wearing ourselves to death, but building quietly a positive life. And if we will do this, the old negative life will be submerged in it and lost. Thus we transform the whole pattern and come in the end to a much better level of energy support. A good pattern is like nutrition, a happy project, something that makes us really enjoy life, is far more valuable to us than vitamins. Very often we use vitamins only to sustain our melancholy, to give us the rich vitality with which to be uncomfortable and unpleasant. Actually, we are doing things that we love and enjoy and make sense to us. We have our energy. This constant deflation of energy is largely boredom, largely the individual unhappy because life is meaningless. So we supply pills to keep meaningless people going. What is more important is to supply meaning then people can keep themselves going. And you can run a good hobby on what you pay for pills these days. So try to get hold of this idea of simply building a new self, a new purpose of self. Using only such good parts of the old as are adaptable, but definitely striving to work out an interest and permitting no one to defeat you. Don't worry about the obstacle. Don't worry about the fact that the first line of interest may not be the final one. Break through anything that will help you to have new insight, new interest, new knowledge, new positive conversation, and new constructive thinking. Then just work with those new patterns. And in time, you will create a new world, and the universe around you will look better. The people you work with will look better, and you will look a lot better when you look in the mirror. There is nothing like reintegration on constructive patterns for psychological facelifting. It will do tremendous things, and we just don't fight these problems anymore. Just build something good, and just let the problems die of neglect. If you will do that, I think you will find it will bring positive and useful and profitable results to yourself and those who you want to make happy or who depend upon you for inspiration and guidance. Time's up, so ask questions.